This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Congress created CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program, in 1997 as a block grant to assist the states in making sure that children born into Medicaid could remain in Medicaid or CHIP until they reached 19. In the decades of the program, it's been hailed as a success by both parties for saving both money and lives. The healthy outcomes for children frequently means fewer healthy issues, fewer issues of their conditions as they grow up, and it saves more money because these programs, these conditions are expensive to treat. So why is CHIP coming to an end? What does this mean for the children in Texas and across the nation, and how will this impact hospitals that provide care for children and impact the cost of care for everyone? Our number to call in is 210-614-8980. What's your CHIP story? Have you been helped by the program? What have you seen in your medical practice? That number again is 210-614-8980. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined this afternoon in the studio by Dr. Mark Gilger. He is a pediatrician in chief at the Children's Hospital of San Antonio and the vice chair of the Department of Pediatrics at Baylor College of Medicine. Othis on the line that will be joining us will be Stacy Wilson, president of the Children's Hospital Association of Texas, and Patrick Bissett. He is the executive director of the Children's Defense Fund of Texas. And the number again is 210-614-8980. So doctor, tell me, what does CHIP do exactly?
Well, CHIPS is a children's health insurance program. It's been around for about 20 years in the United States and was created to provide health insurance and health support to children and pregnant mothers. And that means well child visits, immunizations, x-rays, and the like. And this program has been remarkably successful for our children here in Texas, children at the Children's Hospital San Antonio, but all the way across the United States.
So was this a program that was created in 1997 because there was a particular need at that time, and now that need no longer exists?
No, I think the need now is stronger than ever. The program was created to support low-income families who weren't eligible for Medicaid but couldn't afford routine health insurance. So it served that real niche. People use the term the working poor, and that's who it helps, and that's who needs it to continue.
There was a time in the Texas legislature where, I forget when, how long ago it was, maybe 10 years ago, that they decided they weren't going to fund their part of CHIP anymore, so we didn't get those CHIP dollars, and basically we didn't have it for those 2 years. What lessons did we learn from that?
I hope we learned that the need is there and continues today. I think this is going to be a significant effect to the children's health and welfare in the state of Texas. And we're urging our state and federal help to push this through on a bipartisan way through our federal government.
How much does this cost the federal government? They're the ones that really foot the bill for CHIP. And so I think the reason why they don't want to fund it again is because they're saying it's gotten too expensive. I mean, so how... It's a money issue, isn't it, in Washington?
Well, I think everything's become a money issue in Washington. The question is, what's appropriate for the nation, and how do we spend money appropriately? Clearly, programs like CHIP help to keep children healthy and well with immunizations and the like, whereas if that program doesn't exist and they don't get their immunizations, our health care costs would go up, not down.
So it's not a money issue, but a priority issue in Washington, D.C. They make decisions all the time where they want to put the dollars or make cuts and things, and this is where they're... And so is there an outcry? If the problem is as dire as we're hearing, where's the outcry?
The outcry in terms of...
Like, this is not a good idea if you care about children's health in Texas or across the country. You know, we know that is this a political football, or is this our bargaining chip per se in Washington, D.C. that we think is going to be rectified?
David, I would say bargaining chip and political football would be the correct answer to both questions. This is something that deserves complete and total bipartisan support in Washington. And the fact that it's become a political football simply makes no sense.
So where are we in the timeline? Has it already gotten to a point where they can fix this before there's a gap in care?
I think anything can be fixed, in my opinion, but that's what I do for a living. I take care of babies. But in terms of the question is, will we finance CHIPS into the future? And it's been refinanced multiple times over the past 20 years, and it needs to be refinanced again.
So what are you hearing? It looks grim if you're on CHIP, and are people aware that this is happening?
Well, I think that's a really important one, David, and I think what we can do right now is make sure that the folks who are using CHIP and our hospitals and our physicians and our family practitioners and our pediatricians understand that CHIP is on the verge of financial collapse, both here in the state of Texas and across the United States. So first and foremost, people need to understand what's going on in Washington with CHIP funding.
Also, we're coming up on the end of signing up for the Affordable Health Care at December 15th. So should people, is there something that could be done in that area? It's like, well, I need to make sure that I sign up for that if I haven't? Or?
I think that's a really interesting question, David. You know, most folks who are on CHIP assume that is their health insurance. If this were to go belly up, then they're going to need some sort of health insurance. So it's certainly a consideration on the part of moms and dads whose children are on CHIP now.
But the way these are staggered, I mean, the deadline, we have a very shortened sign-up window for Obamacare, Affordable Health Care Act this year. It's half the time it usually is. If you aren't aware that CHIP is going to go away, by the time you realize it, then that window may have already been closed. And so you may find yourself, without health care.
I think that could happen, David. The sign-up for Obamacare is going to end within a week here. I don't see any immediate resolution in sight. It looks to me right now it'll still, at best, be the end of the month until it's reconsidered.
And would that mean that there would be a gap in care? Because a lot of children who are on CHIP have chronic conditions and they need their treatments, and a gap in treatment would mean a setback or maybe even a fatal outcome.
Well, that possibility exists, David. One of the things that CHIP serves is those children with chronic conditions. And when there's no further funding, that's going to have to be funded some way, somehow. So that's going to fall on the parents, it's going to fall on the physicians, and it's going to fall on our hospitals across the state of Texas.
We're talking about the Children's Health Insurance Program. It is a program that's been in place since 1997. It has the Congress has not renewed its funding, and Texas is looking at losing its care, as is other states across the country. Other states are looking at different remedies, maybe trying to pick up the tab. But Texas, we don't know. We haven't gotten a lot of direction from our state leaders. What do you want to see happening with CHIP? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. If you use CHIP or have been on it, give us a call. How has this helped your family? 210-614-8980. Or if you're a doctor or you're a healthcare provider, how does CHIP play into your practice? Give us a call. And what does this mean for everyone else? Will this drive healthcare costs up for everyone else? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be back after this moment. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Children's Health Insurance Program. It's a program that appears to be coming to an end unless there is a massive outcry in the nation demanding that Congress do something about this and do something about it quick, because the funding is due to run out in Texas, at least, by the end of January. There's a request by the Texas Health and Human Services for $90 million, maybe to keep it going for a few more weeks. But but this is certainly more than the state of Texas can handle on its own. It's a program that the federal government has generally paid most of the money for, and people have said this is a very successful program because it has helped children deal with conditions, helped them become get healthier, and help mothers have healthier babies, and in the end, it has saved dollars along the line for taxpayers. Give us a call if you have a take on CHIP, the Children's Health Insurance Program. Why do you think that Congress is intent on ending the funding for this program? And what do you think people ought to do about it? Are you happy about this outcome? Do you think it's about time that CHIP came to an end? We'd like to hear your story as well. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. We're now joined by Stacy Wilson, president of the Children's Hospital Association of Texas, and Patrick Brissett. He is the executive director of the Children's Defense Fund of Texas, and welcome to the show. So, Stacy Wilson, let me start with you. The Children's Hospital Association of Texas, it sounds like the ending of CHIP kind of falls right in your lap.
You're exactly right. There are over 400,000 children in Texas who are enrolled in CHIP as part of the 9 million across the country who have this coverage. And as you can imagine, many of our hospitals are relying on this funding to ensure that children get the care that they need. Many of these children have chronic conditions or have medically complex issues that our hospitals treat every day. So we are heavily reliant on CHIP funding, just like we are for Medicaid funding, because of the number of children that have that type of coverage.
These are children that it could be a variety of issues that they come to you for, respiratory, asthma, or of complicated issues, cancer, anything, right?
That's absolutely correct. CHIP is a great program because it is specifically designed with children in mind. In the earlier segment, I know that you were talking about maybe parents having to move to the exchange or the marketplace to get coverage if, in fact, CHIP does go away. And just to remind you, a lot of those programs through the exchange are not designed for children with children in mind like CHIP is.
But so if we lose CHIP, I'm just trying to think forward and down the, what's the action line of this developing story? It doesn't seem like there's an appetite in Congress unless they're suddenly they get the message or a message that they need to do something different than they're doing now. So if we lose CHIP, what will that mean for the children who now depend upon it, and where will they be going? How will they access health care?
It's a great question that you ask, because if, in fact, the CHIP program ceases, there is a state law that says the state cannot use state funding only to continue the program. So, in other words, I know some other states have been looking at using their state dollars to continue CHIP benefits, but Texas will not have that option. So I know a lot of folks that are on CHIP get CHIP because they can't afford employer-sponsored coverage, or they don't have employer-sponsored coverage. So they will end up needing to go to the marketplace to figure out if there is something that works for them there. And of course, the cost sharing is very different. The benefit package is very different. And even more troubling is a lot of those networks of physicians and hospitals don't have children's providers in them because they really weren't designed with children in mind. So these kids, especially if they're in the middle of chemo, they're in the middle of having therapies because the child is autistic, they may lose access to the providers that are providing that coverage for them and those services for them right now.
And Stacy Wilson with the Children's Hospital Association of Texas, we know that hospitals in Texas are already struggling, mainly rural hospitals. We're losing rural hospitals. What will this mean for them?
It's going to be devastating. We've had several rural hospitals close in the last several years. And this is, especially in our rural communities, an essential lifeline of funding for those hospitals.
Patrick Brissett, executive director of the Children's Defense Fund of Texas. Tell me more about the Children's Defense Fund. What do y'all do?
So we have been around for about 18 years here in Texas, part of the national organization, the Children's Defense Fund, which is 44 years old, I guess. And we work on a broad array of issues that affect kind of the well-being of children. Here in Texas, children's health has been kind of a signature set of work. So kind of on the policy side, from the very beginnings of the creation of the CHIP program, we worked to make sure that the legislature and the governor at the time were willing to be involved and be part of that program and come up with the state share. We've worked on policies to make sure the program is accessible to families and doesn't create barriers. And then in the field, we have several outreach and enrollment projects in East Texas and in the Valley and the Houston area, where we have caseworkers on the ground trying to identify uninsured kids and connect them directly to CHIP and Children's Medicaid. So on the policy side, we have that kind of involvement in CHIP, and then we also have day-to-day stories of the life-saving benefits of this program. And we're getting calls from concerned parents about this. They're hearing the news as well and really beginning to panic.
Do you think, since you're the Children's Defense Fund of Texas, that Texas's congressional delegation could take the lead in trying to do something about this, what's going to happen with CHIP funding?
I mean, certainly we've got some people in some very important places in the appropriations and finance side. Certainly Senator Cornyn has expressed a lot of support for the program. And I think Stacey was even in Washington, D.C. last week talking to his office. So there, we have the kind of voices that could make a big difference. And I also think it's important to remember that we are the state with the highest number of uninsured kids and tied sometimes for the highest percentage of uninsured kids. So this program matters to Texas as much or more than any other state. And so we certainly are doing our job in partnership with the Children's Hospital Association and the March of Dimes, Academy of Pediatrics, of an array of voices that care about this to make sure our delegation knows how critical it is.
Well, it's also pregnant mothers. 35,000 pregnant women are in Texas, are on CHIP. And so when we talk about children's defense, it starts there.
It does. I mean, this is one of the great places where a working family making a little bit too much money, as Stacey said, to be able to get
that sounds coverage. That sounds very generous. They're making too much money, but you know, it's too much money to be considered completely impoverished. Yeah, but they're still a struggling family.
Right, and then I also meant to say sorry that they also can't quite afford like an employer-based coverage. And so, you know, we all know that getting this kind of prenatal care is essential to the well-being of children in those early years. And that's why, you know, this program does cover what they call CHIP perinatal for these pregnant moms, that kind of those well baby checks at the very end, also the kind of prenatal care and checkups. And given what your listeners have probably heard about the high levels of maternal mortality and morbidity in the state, we don't want to do anything to undermine prenatal care.
And so does CHIP save money? I have seen that. I have heard that. But I would like to see what y'all have to say. So Patrick, how does paying for medical care for children save money for the nation down the line?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that when you can identify any early issues with kids' health and get that treated early, that you put up, you basically avoid kind of costly interventions later. Kids do better in school when they're healthy. So there's all kinds of great statistics about kids who have been in CHIP and Children's Medicaid actually graduate more, do better in school. And there's actually recent information that shows that they actually are higher earners as they become adults. So all of that rests on a foundation of kind of early child health. And again, as Stacey mentioned, one of the beauties of the CHIP program is that the package of benefits and the way it provides services to kids are designed to treat that whole child and make sure that they have that foundation.
And Stacey Wilson, do we have any figures on how much money CHIP has saved us over the years?
I do not have that. I know that, in fact, one of the things that we discussed was if you can, for example, fix a child's heart, if they have a heart issue, it may cost you $300,000 to fix that child's heart. But to Patrick's point, that child goes on to graduate from high school, in many instances graduate from college and become a higher earner and contributes millions of dollars to the national economy, number one. And then number two, they're not on disability. They're not on Medicaid as somebody that has a disability. So you're not taking money from the government and you're actually contributing money to the national economy. So you basically get a 2-for getting these children's health care coverage issues done early.
So what will happen to everyone else? I'm not on CHIP. I have my employer insurance, or I'm on Obamacare or whatever. And so why should I care about what happens to CHIP? Is it going to impact what I pay when I go to the hospital? Stacey?
It's a great question. And yes, I mean, the hospital has costs that it has to do like every other business. So they have employees, they have just general operational costs. And so what that means is if more people start coming to the children's hospital without coverage, then I'm not going to get paid for those children. So I still have to make my payroll. I still have to pay my bills. So I'm going to have to either go out of business or I'm going to have to cost shift to somebody that has insurance to try to make up that difference for what I'm not getting paid by the CHIP, by the loss of CHIP.
So there was a report. They asked a woman who was getting prenatal care through CHIP and says, what would you do if you lost CHIP? She says, well, I would just turn up at the hospital emergency room when I was in labor. And why, Dr. Mark Gilger, why is that a bad idea? I mean, what are we risking with that?
Well, when you avoid prenatal care altogether, you avoid all the vitamins and things that we give to pregnant mothers, which then predisposes them to illnesses with their fetus.
Are you going to identify, prenatal diabetes, things like that?
Spinal defects with the use of folate, things of that sort. Interventions that have been very successful with pregnant mothers to prevent injury to children would go by the wayside. You don't have prenatal care, mom's not going to take the vitamins.
So you just have a car pulling up in the middle of the night saying, we haven't had any prenatal care, we don't have a doctor, we don't have anything, but now we're getting ready to have a baby. And, you know, you have the baby, but maybe it's complicated and it's expensive.
Well, emergency rooms are always going to be expensive because they're there to provide whatever's necessary to whoever needs it. So that form of health care is probably the most expensive that we can deliver. It's hardly ever the right approach to the relationship that's developed between mom and her obstetrician or her family practitioner and all of the prenatal care that goes into delivering a healthy baby.
So, Stacey Wilson, since you're the president of the Children's Hospital Association of Texas, are these hospitals, are they getting together and trying to say, what are we going to do?
They actually are. In fact, as Patrick mentioned, we were in D.C. last week making the rounds with our congressional delegation to emphasize the importance of a quick renewal and extension of CHIP. Everyone tends to agree that CHIP is an important program. It does have bipartisan support. The problem is, and I think Dr. Gilger said this earlier, is that it has become a political football. And so, unfortunately, for the first time ever, this has become held hostage to other priorities that Congress is working on at the moment.
So what's the strategy at the moment?
The strategy at the moment is to keep up the clamor to get this very important program extended for 5 years. That was the bill that the House passed, and so now we're really pushing on our senators to do the same thing.
So it did pass the House. It got hung up in the Senate. Is that bill still in play? Can it be that same bill be put through the Senate before the end of the year?
That is unlikely. What's more likely to happen is that it might become part of the continuing resolution that is approved or is set to be approved on December 22nd. So we're hoping that that would forestall the notices that are currently set to go out to Texas families on that same day.
It seems pretty cynical to try and say that this is a political football. You would think our politicians would think more of our children than try to use a CHIP as a bargaining chip in some other gamesmanship, brinksmanship going on in Washington, D.C. Stacey, did you get that impression?
Are they telling you,
yeah, we're really sorry, we really care, we'll figure something out, or they're just saying, well, so sad, too bad?
No, it's definitely we're going to get it done. And so the problem is that, of course, the longer they wait to get it done, the more calls that the Children's Defense Fund and other people get, because these parents who have spent their entire lives putting together a network for their children to ensure that their children are getting the care that they need are now going to have that disrupted right at the holidays when that's the last thing that they need to have happen to them.
Yeah, and the more of the outcry we have, the more pressure you can put on those politicians to get some changes. So do you have kids in health care coverage? Or are they uninsured? Do you have a family or friends in the CHIP program? How does a lack of health insurance affect your child? Do you work at the hospital, a doctor's office, treat kids? Want to hear your comments and stories? The number is 210-614-8980. The source. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the Children's Health Insurance Program. It's been in effect since 1997. It's been a tremendous success, hailed as a success by both parties. It has provided healthy outcomes for children by providing them health insurance. It's known as CHIP. And until they reach the age of 19, and this has been something that now is in danger. Congress passed on a renewing of it in September. It looks like letters will be going out soon in Texas to CHIP families, but those letters will be coming out too late for those families to realize that they need to sign up for the Affordable Care Act. So that might be something they need to be considering doing, and that ends on December 15th. If you get a story to tell us about CHIP in your life, have you seen it as a teacher, as a healthcare provider? The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. You can also email us with your comments. Patrick Brissette, the Executive Director of the Children's Defense Fund of Texas, do you think that when those letters start going out in December, like December 23rd, I think they're supposed to hit people right before Christmas, and to say your health insurance is coming to an end, that will they be expecting these letters? Will this come as a shock to them? What do you think will happen?
Well, I think that, first of all, we hope that won't happen at all. And so that's what we're working every day to make happen. Also, I think that there is the potential that if we get a little bit extra funding from the feds, we could actually extend this into January and avoid that letter hitting right at Christmas. So there's some hope that we'll get approval from the federal government for a small pot of funds that can extend it at least another month. But we'd be back at the same place, essentially, that you mentioned. It is a little bit unclear. We've talked to the Health and Human Services Commission. Were this program to end, exactly what the process would be for handing those families over to a marketplace option. They likely would have a special enrollment period, so that the fact that it ends December 15th wouldn't mean that it's completely out of reach to them. But we'd be in uncharted territory, basically. So the process by which you would inform those families, you would try to have some sort of handoff to other options. But those are also likely, as Stacey's already mentioned, to be unaffordable for many families. You know, we had one mom call in and say that she had already preemptively gone on the marketplace to look at what it might cost her. They can't afford to add it to her husband's health insurance. So what was she to buy the marketplace? And they were looking at $300 to $400 extra a month. And she's like, that's my grocery money. And so you're going to have families both, I think, seriously confused in a process that's not clear yet. And then when they do go to look, it's likely to be kind of out of reach in some troubling ways.
Stacey Wilson, have people complained that CHIP's been abused? Is there slack in the system? It just needs to be tightened up. Is that the situation? Is that why they're trying to end its funding?
We certainly have not heard that. Pardon me. What we have heard from our congressional delegation is under the Obamacare, there was an additional amount of federal funds put into the program. So currently the federal government's paying about 93% of all of the costs of CHIP. And there was a concern that those additional federal funds were not basically doing anything except spending more money from the federal government. But aside from that, as Patrick has mentioned, this has been a very popular program. It has been very successful. Providers like it. The families like it. The health plans like it. So I have not heard about any kind of abuse in the system.
So we got a caller on the line. Richard has called in, and let's see here, and I'll click on the button. And Richard, you're on the air. Welcome to, you're on The Source. Go ahead.
I think it's a wonderful program. Briefly, I think it would be a travesty. It would affect so many kids, not just in Texas, but maybe in so many other states. And with this term that CHIP was originally created for the working poor, there's a lot of families in the $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 mark where they can still qualify for the children's program. And it's phenomenal, because what makes it's very expensive to get a family of three, of five, of six on your company sponsor plan is those huge deductibles and those huge out-of-pocket monthly deductions that a family has to pay. So then they have to decide, do I pay for health insurance or do I bring food to the table? And this is where the CHIP program fits in perfectly and allows that family to to be productive to society, to put money back into your local community, and still be able to have access to health care for their kiddos. And I know this personally. I'm not going to mention the plan, but I represent CHIP. I'm one of the local community workers that visit schools, churches, work with the Children's Hospital in providing information and education and access to the parents and saying, no, you can qualify for this. Look at the guidelines. And it would be a travesty. It would affect so many people across the board, but most importantly, so many kiddos that really need it.
Richard, thank you for the call. I sure do appreciate that. So Patrick Brissett, Executive Director of the Children's Defense Fund of Texas. To me, I had thought that one of the big problems for CHIP in Texas was that so many more children qualify for it and weren't on it, and that we needed to get more children on it and not in the program.
No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, we've made good progress. So, I want to say that first. We are at our lowest levels of uninsured kids in a decade or so, but that we still have the highest number of kids without insurance. And I saw some federal stats that we're probably in the 87% of children who are eligible for these programs actually get them. So that means there's a chunk of kids out there that we still need to reach. And so I hear stories every day from our caseworkers. In fact, one just yesterday, one of our caseworkers was in a Starbucks trying to pick up her latte and started up a conversation with the barista, who didn't even realize there was a program out there that, and I was talking to her about her kids and about what I do. 30 minutes later, that young mom had health insurance for her kids. So I think we are in the position of continually trying to let people know about this important program. And as the caller mentioned, a lot of families don't realize that. Or they make assumptions. Oh, I might make too much money, or, you know, whatever, I might not be eligible. And so we actually need to be doing more public information about this program than less.
Got a caller from Laura. She couldn't stay on the line. She says that her daughter used to be on CHIP. Without it, they wouldn't have gotten her the right health care that she needed. And so Dr. Mark Gilger, he's a pediatrician in chief at the Children's Hospital of San Antonio and the vice chair of the Department of Pediatrics at Baylor College of Medicine. This is kind of a story where we have a self-selecting process where people who really need this program find it. These are not just when we give these numbers of 400,000 Texas children benefit from CHIP. These are the 400,000 Texas children. Generally, they really need health care. Is that right?
They really need it, and they find it, and we should be getting that extra 10 or 12% on CHIPs. We should not be cutting CHIPs. We should be promoting it and growing it.
So when we see that over 27,000 children in Bear County alone benefit from CHIP, what would that mean here locally when CHIP expires?
Well, you have families who had been used to getting good medical care, good well-child care for their child, getting their immunizations and their well-child visits, and pregnant moms getting their prenatal visits, that all of a sudden can't do that. And what do they do? Where do they go for reasonable cost health care? That's going to be searching for things that might not even exist.
So I know there's a really great pediatric care clinic at the Robert B. Greene downtown. What would happen to their ability to provide services? Will they have to cut back or screen people? What do they do?
I think that's what's going to happen. You're going to have to figure out who do you serve? How do we cut back? Where do we cut back?
So that's part of the county process. So absolutely. That becomes a county taxpayer may have to pick that up.
Somebody's going to pick it up. Absolutely. When a child needs health care, you're going to have to provide it, and you're going to have to figure out a way to how do we fund that.
Okay. And so, and Stacy Wilson, I'm really kind of concerned about rural hospitals because I think they're just an important part of the community. Frequently, they're big employers in the counties, and them going away generally means that sometimes communities die out in the rural area. They don't have hospitals. People make choices to move to other areas, particularly if they have children with big medical needs. This should be something that Texans should invest in and care about. I mean, am I wrong?
You're not wrong. Healthcare, to me, has always been part of our infrastructure. You want to move to a community where you feel like your kids have a good school, your kids have good healthcare, your kids have access to what they need. And so if there isn't a hospital there for what happens to your child, whether it's a broken arm or a car wreck or anything else, that's just another reason not to move to that community. And as you mentioned, hospitals are huge employers. They're huge economic drivers in their community. And so to have one leave leaves the community without that economic engine.
And I would just add, yes, I just wanted to add that, you know, short of actually losing the hospital itself, it is often the OB programs that go, are one of the things that they cut first. And again, you know, if CHIP is not there to be kind of a stream of funding, the surprise, so they can keep those docs on board and get those moms those prenatal care, you may still have a hospital limping along, but actually one of the most critical programs might be no longer available.
And so these hospitals, they just fold, Stacey?
They do. They close. They, you know, need to, their physicians end up going other places. Their employees end up having to either find other jobs or move out of the community. And then, of course, you end up with these families who are heavily dependent on the health care that the hospital provided that have to go elsewhere. And, of course, as you know, Texas is a huge state, and that ends up with a lot of travel time. It ends up with a lot of time away from work. It ends up with a lot of time away from school. All of which is detrimental to the families.
There's also a high number of health prevention that goes to boost people's health so they don't get sick down the line. You know, we need that in order to have a healthy community. We're going to continue our conversation about the CHIP program. What's the future? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for our community? Numbers 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We'd like to hear from you if you've been on CHIP, if you've been a healthcare provider. And the source continues after this break. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. We're talking about the Children's Health Insurance Program that, because Congress has not renewed its funding, is due to run out of money in the next few weeks. We got an email here from Miriam. She says, I've been listening to the program, and we're right that she's worried because her daughter has been on a Medicaid since she was born, and then CHIP in the last years. She has a genetic condition which requires visits to several specialists and regular MRI examinations to monitor the tumors that have formed on her nerves. When I first called the community first, they told me to call CHIP, and then they told me to call the Health and Human Services Commission, and no one there has information about the ending or the funding of the program, and there's no useful information out there, actionable information for parents who are concerned. What can I do? How do I plan for the future? What other affordable insurances are out there that they can use if CHIP comes to an end? Patrick Brissette, Executive Director of the Children's Defense Fund of Texas, what do you have for Miriam?
So first, I hope that she doesn't have to face this challenge going forward, and so we're working on that. Second, one of the things that we do is to try to actually collect these stories and actually raise up the voices of these parents so that our policymakers hear them and really understand the breadth of the impact of this program. So at the Children's Defense Fund Texas, on our Facebook page and other places, you can actually contact us and we'll help talk to you, essentially get your story down, use that as part of what we do with our advocacy work. We put people in touch with radio shows like yours when they're looking for a family to talk to, just to really flesh out what their program does. And then we also then hopefully direct families who are comfortable doing this to call their congressional member and just talk to them directly about how this would affect them. So that's on the kind of policy side. And then again, hopefully they don't have to deal with this, but talking to your local clinics and your local children's hospital, many of those caseworkers that work at the front line of those organizations will at least have some options. They may not be as, they're not going to be as good as CHIP, but there are people who think about this every day and try to help families connect to some sort of affordable care. And so that will be part of what we see if this thing actually phases out early in the year.
Stacey Wilson, president of the Children's Hospital Association of Texas, what do you think about that email?
Well, I'm so thankful that she has the opportunity to use CHIP and access CHIP to help her with her daughter's issues. The other thing to follow up on what Patrick says is that if you go to healthcare.gov, you can look and see what of the exchange plans are available in your area and whether or not you would qualify for a subsidy to participate in those plans, because many, many people do. The other thing that we've heard from the Medicaid agency here in Texas is that they will do, basically, if you're rejected for CHIP because there is no more CHIP program, they will do an electronic transfer of your application over to the marketplace. Now, what that means is, of course, you'll still have to enroll, you'll still have to pay, you'll still have to make a selection, and of course it may be more expensive and fewer benefits than you're used to with CHIP, but that is our understanding of how the Medicaid agency is going to work on those particular issues.
And Dr. Mark Gilger, if we take that advice and follow up and try and get these other insurance programs like ACA, is that going to interrupt the continuity of care? We're going to have to go to a different doctor, a different outlet?
Important point, David. That's entirely possible. You know, nowadays we have different insurance plans, our different networks of physicians and other providers, and so that could easily disrupt care and harm the child's health.
So there is Enroll SA, that's a program here in San Antonio, which will help people weigh options before the December 15th deadline for the Affordable Care Act. We'll have a link to that on our website. Here's another caller. This is Antonio. Antonio, hi, how are you doing? Welcome to The Source. You're on the air. All right, deja vu. I heard all that before. Antonio, to your radio is kind of... Antonio, turn off your radio, buddy.
All right, deja vu. Heard all that before. Antonio.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Antonio, turn off your radio, buddy.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hi, I was calling because I do not understand why, if we Texas is one of the worst states in health care insurance for children, and I don't understand why they're not passing this funding for CHIP on Congress, and I don't understand why they want to get rid of the Affordable Care Act. My children have been on Medicaid and then on CHIP back and forth, and me and my wife are on the Affordable Care Act, but it's very painful and discouraging to keep hearing that they're not passing that funding at this time of the year. And I would like to know why.
Antonio, thank you for that. Is the million-dollar, multi-billion-dollar question. And so Stacy Wilson, president of the Children's Hospital Association of Texas, you got an answer for Antonio.
No, Antonio has hit the nail on the head. We do know that the bill, unfortunately, the program has bipartisan support. But what's ended up happening is that you don't have agreement between the Republicans and the Democrats on how you're going to pay for the program for the next 5 years. So the Republicans have put forward some offsets that would help fund the program through that period of time. The Democrats don't agree with those particular offsets because they believe that hurts some of the preventive programs that are important to Texas, to the nation's families. And so, unfortunately, we've ended up in a kind of a ping pong match where we haven't had the parties come together to recognize how important this program is and get the bill passed.
Well, a cynical partisan might say to that the Republicans just gave away $1 trillion in the new tax thing that they put out there. That's something that they found money for that. Is this that they just don't value children's health as much as they value tax cuts? Patrick Brissett, I hate to give that to you, but you're next on the list.
I'll take that one because I think you don't have to be a cynic to question the kind of priorities of that. So, you know, huge debate, you know, rushing through because it's a high priority, tax cuts at $1.5 trillion, and yet you can't come up with the $17 billion that we need to, you know, fund this for 9 million kids. I think that it does say something about the priorities of some of the people there. I also think we have to remember this is why it's so important that we all speak up on behalf of this program as adults, because kids don't vote, kids don't provide campaign donations, and so often the issues that affect these kids don't rise to the level of kind of clear and present priority as much as they should have. And so we encourage anyone who cares about this, the callers, to pick up the phone and talk to your congressional member, to our senators, and just have our voice heard. I mean, that's what it's going to take. We have to speak out for these 9 million kids.
People need answers. They need actionable information. They have children that have chronic conditions, and they find out that CHIP will either be interrupted or may go away entirely. How will they move forward? CareLink is something that we have here in Bexar County. Is that something that people should be looking after, Dr. Mark Gilger?
I think it's certainly an option. I'm not intensely familiar with that particular program, but I think it's going to create situations where people need to look at all their options.
And Stacey Wilson, what do you think? So you guys have a plan. First, your strategy number one, the plan A, is keep this from happening. Plan B is try to fix it if it does happen. What is plan C if those don't work?
I think plan C is to go back to visit with our members of Congress to figure out how we reinstitute this program. Even if there is a gap, which God forbid that happened, but even if there is a gap, I think, again, it's just going to take all of us going back to our congressional delegation to say, here's what's happened since you didn't fund the program. We've either had hospitals shut down. We've had horrible outcomes. We don't want to have that happen. We would much rather the program continue. And I know down in the depths of their souls, the congressional delegation wants that too. Unfortunately, as Patrick's pointed out, they've just kind of gotten caught up in this prioritization towards the end of the year that has put CHIP last. So we are bound and determined to continue our grassroots efforts and informing Congress of how important this program is, not only to the families and the patients that we serve, but to the hospitals and the communities in which they're located.
And Patrick Brissett, Executive Director of the Children's Defense Fund of Texas, how important is documenting how things are moving forward, telling these stories, being able to really provide bulletproof information that can't be spun with allegations of fake news, that this is really happening and this is unnecessary?
No, I think you're right. It's critical that we, again, put a face on these families and really talk about the wide array of kinds of benefits that this program provides for kids, both kids who are healthy and they're healthy because they're getting their checkups, and kids like some of your callers who have very special medical needs. So I think what we've seen in the last several months is a lot of really compelling stories of individual families and children and how they have benefited. And that has helped. I mean, I do think we see some evidence of this kind of pressure and the kind of highlight in the program elevating concern in the congressional offices we speak to. As Stacey said, they say, oh, we're going to get it done. Our concern is that, the further you push it toward the end, the more vulnerable to kind of deal-making in bad ways happens. But we're committed to telling the stories of CHIP families, and that's part of what we do every day with our caseworkers and our advocacy work.
What about reaching out to our politicians, particularly our two Texas Republican senators?
At this point, I think that's probably the most important contact people could make, either Senator Cornyn or Senator Cruz. As Stacey mentioned, there's pretty good agreement on the package from the House, and the senators are going to be key to making sure this is part of perhaps this budget deal in a week or so.
All right. I want to thank our guest, Dr. Mark Gilger, pediatrician in chief at the Children's Hospital of San Antonio and the vice chair of the Department of Pediatrics at Baylor College of Medicine. Stacey Wilson joined us. She's the president of the Children's Hospital Association of Texas. Patrick Brissett, executive director of the Children's Defense Fund of Texas. We will continue following this story and bringing you the latest as it develops. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thank you so much for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is produced by Kim Johnson, Jan Ross Piedad, and David Martin Davies. Production assistance is provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.